Fay and I are always honored to be called upon to share what Christ has done for us and share in the Word of God, and especially, of course, here, our home church, pastored by our own son, which is that is an honor in and of itself. We thank you for coming out this morning and trust that you are blessed by the Word of God. And we're going to start right out by quoting, I'm going to end and begin really this morning with just a thought from the music. And thank you very much for the music. The one I was out of touch in, but it was great just to listen. Take the coal and cleanse my lips. Here I am. And that's my desire. I have a lot to say, and a lot I want to get across in these next four sessions, but it is my desire that he might increase and that I might decrease, because we really want to see Christ here. Isn't that true? We want to learn more about Christ. We want to live for him. We want to realize that, you know, without Christ, what's the point? Really, what's the point? Are we just a social club, maybe a little bit morally better than the rest of the world? No, we are ambassadors for Christ. By the way, not only here, frankly, not here so much as out there, ambassadors for Christ. So my wife and I want to thank you. Pray for my wife. She fell in a hole the other day, and she's in really excruciating pain right now. She's going to be mad at me, so I'll be in excruciating pain later. But do pray for her. She's a trooper. She doesn't say much. She's followed me from living in the back room of broken down laundromats to the one of the most pretentious homes in Sunbury, Pennsylvania, to a shack in St. Cloud, to a sailboat, and a trawler. Whoa. Okay. With a bathtub. Woohoo! Okay. And now a ranch. And she's been very faithful. And so if you're blessed this morning, understand this is a team effort. And I thank God for her ministry to me. Now I'm going to lay down some ground rules for the next four sessions. And you have to forgive me, but you can take the man out of the military, but you can't take the military out of the man. And I'm not even apologizing for that. So effective next two Sundays, we will be done in the first session by 11 o'clock or sooner. At 11:20, session number two will begin. And at 12 o'clock, it will be done. And that's the way it will be the next 2 weeks. Just forgive me, but that's just the way we function at his ranch. And I, of course, give it a little biblical basis, let all things be done decently and in order, but it doesn't mean everyone has to do it that way. But I say that to you because I come here fleetingly now and again. I'm usually preaching someplace else. And if there's no one here for the next session, guess what? I'm going to be blessed because I'll hear myself. And my dear wife has got a bad back, so she'll be staying. But for those of you who are making plans and are just wondering, I want you to know that from 11 to 11:20, do your whatever you do, your coffee. I'll be getting a coffee break. 11:20, we're starting. It will not be a rehash, which is a good thing. It's a good thing. But I have too much to share. So we will just continue on with whatever God has laid on my heart for the second session. And then next week we'll do the same. I ask this of you, for those of you who are led of the Spirit of God, not to attend. Remember, I want the Lord to cleanse my lips. So this is said, speaking the truth in love. If you are so inclined not to stay, please keep it down out there, okay, as your fellowship or whatever you do. I say that not for me, because I can preach loud enough way over you. But for the dear folks who do come, for the second session. So keep that in mind. That's the way it will be. Now, being flawed as I am, it may not. But that's my desire for the next four sessions. Any questions on We don't have time for questions. Somebody might not like it, so I don't want to hear about it. All right. I do want to take time. The first time is more or less an introduction. We're having a Light for Living conference. And the theme, actually, of our whole ministry is Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You have been blessed here. You have a pastor who teaches. You had Glenn Abel, who did a wonderful job on prophecy, and while I was preaching someplace else and just could get in on the tail end. It wasn't anything new, really. No offense. But it's good to be reminded that there's a heaven to be gained and a hell to be found, and it all has to do with Christ and your relationship to Him. And that was just wonderful, because I do think we in our present culture do tend, even we, to become too earthbound. We become too earthbound. I find myself doing that. And anything I preach to you on, and if someone, you meet me at the door, oh, you really stepped on my toes. I don't step on anyone's toes. At this age, I don't dare, because you might come back and beat me up or something. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, that's wonderful. He does it. And so I want to build on that. And I want you to know that and then Brother Todd last week brought just a very touching and very personal approach to the table and to the communion and the Last Supper, which thank you very much, which was a blessing. But I want to tell you something, and this is, I have to share with you, most of you now, I don't feel that way. I want you to know that. I don't think that I'm older than you. That's just the way it goes. But I am. Okay? And I have to face up to that. Well, no, I don't. But that's reality. And so I've seen a lot of changes over the years. And I need to share something with you, because there's been a change. And when I share this with you, this is changes in Christian culture. I frankly, whether it's the country or the church, do not spend a great deal of my time yearning for the good old days. I'm too busy in making adjustments for the present age in which I'm living. I haven't had time to yearn back. It doesn't do a bit of good. I'm a student of history. I need to know where we came from, both church-wise and country-wise, but I'm not constantly living in the past. We have to live in the present, and we have to, but one thing doesn't change. By the way, everything's getting smaller. My Bibles are getting bigger. Okay? And because I'm reaching the point, frankly, where eventually, if I live long enough, I won't even need this. It's all there and here in my heart. But with Glenn and following him, what an honor. What an honor to follow Todd. It would be a tragedy, however, if all we do is sit here and learn. There's a song that goes, look and live. Trust and obey. Notice Psalm 119:105. And this is a danger that I think confronts Bible-believing churches. Now, if I was preaching from the Vatican, you probably wouldn't hear this. That's not their problem. Their problem is they have a works-based salvation, and I guarantee you, I would go, and a lot of my fundamental brethren would say, what in the world? Look at Brother Dunn. He's preaching at the Vatican. But I'll tell you one thing, it probably only would be one time. Okay? The Word of God, for you who are Bible-believing people, is not simply meant to be an intellectual learning experience that you find comforting and so on. It is meant to be something that we live out. I don't like to talk about myself, but I've been quizzed a lot this week. I'll share some letters with you about where I'm coming from. How come I'm this way? How come I'm that way? And Tom, where are you? Tom, I didn't get to eat last Sunday. I mean, he's plaguing me with these questions at the meal. And one of those, how come you seem to be so aggressive, so, and then he gave a negative side, thank you. And excited and zealous. And all I can tell you is from the time I was first saved, I can't help it. I just didn't see myself as, oh good, I was a non-Christian, now I'm a Christian. I was on a mission. I saw myself as a mission, a grand, glorious mission. Now, I've gone up wrong trails, I've blundered, I've fallen on my face, I've lost battles and I've won some, but I see my walk with the Lord as a mission, as something I'm engaged in, not just something that I'm learning. It's something that I need to live out. Now, that's why, with what you heard from Glenn, and which is, should, for example, okay, you learn about heaven, you learn about hell, and you learn, and again, much more than I understand, but at least you should have taken from that, I need to have more compassion for the lost because they're headed for a crisis eternity. Do you understand? That should have some effect on you. I look for the day when we have the Lord's table and we, I know, remember I said, cleanse my lips, I do believe this is of the Lord. By the way, this is important. I did not come here to make you sad. Neither did I come here to make you glad. Okay? I've come here simply to preach and teach the Word of God, the truth. And all the rest is up to the Lord. But, friends, at this Light for Living conference, I hope and pray that what we get will translate to how we live. It is so desperate to me in my own life and in the circles in which I travel. Here's some of the changes that we've seen, because you're going to find a big emphasis on truth this morning. You're going to find a big emphasis. I traveled around churches. I know I can be misunderstood. Someone comes, there's a movie! God isn't dead! That may be good, but guess what? I know God is not dead. I've got the book. It's a living book. That's what I'm excited about. All the rest may have value. Heaven's for real. Yeah. That's supposed to be new to me. What a wonderful book. But we have gotten away from the book. Other than the indwelling Holy Spirit, nothing should be more exciting and more thrilling to open this book written by God. It's written by God. It's written by my Creator. It's His love letter to me. Now, we can have many devices to try and help and relate and all the rest, but God help us if the other things become more critical and more important and more exciting than the wonderful, inspired Word of God. Here's some of the changes I've seen with regards to the Word of God in Bible-believing circles. This is going to blow you away. When we were first saved, first of all, before I got saved, I went to a Bible-believing church and they had Bibles. Of course, we didn't have one. Why? Coming from my liberal Protestant background, put a dollar in the plate. That was your thing. Felt pretty good about yourself the rest of the week. Live it any way you want, and then put a buck in the plate next week, maybe five. Whew. How spiritual. But when we first got saved, and there was a great change, again, I know many blunders, but I'm not the same. We went to a church. Guess what they had for Bible? Once a year, there would be a 2-week Bible conference. 2 weeks! This is how I was weaned. I want you to understand, because this relates to, that's not what you're going to have today. That's not how I function. That is not the is-ness today. I understand that. But I do think it's good. For example, when I challenge you, are you reading the Bible 5 minutes every day? And you go, it's good to know how it used to be. Now, what typically happened at a 2-week conference, of a church's size, you'd probably have about 50 every service, and then about Wednesday and Sunday morning and Sunday night, you'd have everybody. Okay. But it was pretty good. Well, then after a while, and I've seen all this happen, then it got down to 1 week. 1 week. 1 week. I drove all the way to Dallas, Texas for a 1 week conference on the Bible. Okay. Bible teaching. Then, this is a whole period of time to where we are today. And do understand, I'm not suggesting we make any changes. But I do think it's good that you have some context for understanding where we are as a community of believers, okay? Then it got to be, and remember now, then I came into the ministry almost, by the way, when I first breathed as a child of God, but nonetheless, probably way too prematurely. But so I'm conducting weekly meetings. Then it's Wednesday through Sunday. Okay, Wednesday through Sunday. Then people didn't begin showing up. Weekends. Whole day Saturday and then Sunday school, Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Then Sunday. I can remember these times. Sunday all day. You had meal on grounds here? There'd be Sunday school, Sunday morning, a couple of sessions in the afternoon, Sunday night, and okay. Then it was, again, please, I am not making a judgment call. Do understand that. I am not making a judgment call. I am not the Holy Spirit of God. I'm just giving you some history here. Then, Sunday morning, and Sunday school usually had about 4 or 5 classes. You could take everything from Genesis to witnessing. And Sunday night, and of course, Wednesday night was a no-brainer. And now we're down to Sunday morning. I don't mean to, I know that seems like a criticism. It really is not. It is not intended to be. Maybe that's the way it should be in the culture in which we live. I don't know. But I've had to respond to that. Because, you see, I was acclimated as dean of the school and traveling, coming into a place for a week, first session, introduction, going into all the historical background of the book, Isagogics, which is, it's called, big deal, but all the historical background, who may wrote it, who maybe didn't write it, and all this stuff. And then the second session, you give a little bit on, I can't do that anymore, normally. Now, if I was pastoring, I probably would. So, and that's the way we, at his ranch, that's the way it works. Okay, we have somebody coming for a day. And this is why you're going to get this style of teaching for the next 4 sessions, which is getting right to the heart of the matter. All right, someone comes for a day. Well, am I going to take that day giving them an introduction to 1 Peter? No. I'm going to give them some light for living. Do you understand what I'm saying? Light for a living. They come for a week. They come now. Pity the poor guy who was homeless and came and stayed with us for a year. Okay, because I was able to get back, but it's rarely is that the case. So, and I've had to fight that. How do I adapt? How do I, you know, so that's why the next 4 sessions, other than today, will not be a whole lot of introduction. It will be getting right to the point. But I do want you to understand this. If we don't get back in our homes and in our personal lives, really devoted to the study of the Word of God, we will fail to bring glory to God. Let me give you an example. And again, I do not include... how important is the Word of God? Well, would you all agree we live in a perilous time? Amen? Oh my word. We live in perilous days! Amen. That's pathetic, but that's okay. I'm serious. Listen, this goes back to when I was first saying, it's crazy, isn't it? I see ourselves as a band of believers in the midst of a lost world. Everybody else is going a different direction. We've gathered here this morning to encourage, edify, instruct one another because we have a tremendous, tremendous responsibility before the watching world to shine as light in darkness Wow, that's great! It's serious business. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, please, chapter 3. And again, I had to do this because this is all introduction. I won't be doing this anymore. I had to do this so that you understand why we handle the Word of God as we do and why we get to the point. 2 Timothy chapter 3. See, our premise is at the Outpost Mission. It is interesting. It is interesting. Think this through. Some of you know my background. We used to meet and pull the shades in some of the conservative groups we were in because it was dangerous back then in the 60s. But the point is, we do live in perilous, perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 4. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And by the way, right next, what do we expect to find? Because the marriage isn't even understood anymore. Because we have homosexuality. Because we have wickedness and high office. And because there's lawless. No. Perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. And you get another love again. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Since I am speaking to a rock-solid, Bible-believing group of people, I need to share this with you. We too often get caught up in pointing our fingers at all of the things that are going wrong in between verse 1 and 4. The very first sin that's going to be prevalent in the last days, and which I think spawns all the rest, self-love. Self-love. And then it concludes this whole litany of horrible evils, some of which are so distasteful to our moral senses that we don't even want to breathe, don't even want to talk about. And that's right. But it starts out with men shall be lovers of themselves. And it says lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, Martin Luther had it right. And I'm paraphrasing him. He'd come back from the dead because I'm really doing a disservice to it. But basically, he said, whatever's going on in the world that we don't touch on that's wrong, when we don't touch on those things that most apply to us, we deny Christ. So I need to tell you this morning, while many of us, rightly so, I'm going to share that later, are concerned about the gross sins that are going on in the world. We're going to be blindsided by self-love and lovers of pleasure. Those are two that we are very, very vulnerable to. John 3:30. This has been such a blessing to me lately because I need it so. Maybe more than any of you here. John the Baptist said, he must increase, meaning the Lord. But, see, that's not enough. But I must decrease. Light for Living and Spiritual Fitness Ministries, which started way back many, many years ago, functions on the premise that you can do many things that the world or even the church would see as good. But if you're not doing it while being energized by the Holy Spirit of God, and it's not rooted on a love for the truth of God's Word, it is nothing more than carnality. give you an example. Again, because what we're trying to teach here is how important it is that we be spiritually fit. In this congregation, we have people, and there, all of these are wonderful, and I'm going to include myself, who are very, very concerned with creationism and making sure that we're very much aware of the evil of evolution and the wonder of creationism, and spend a lot of their energies there. Others are involved in children's ministry. I mean, one of the greatest churches probably in the area for that. And then there are those who are very much involved in homeschooling, all of which are wonderful things. And there are some here much involved in trying to right the ship in our country, as it were, to try to have more of a Christian influence on decisions that are made in the way this government goes. And that has its place as well. Then there's somebody like me. I've always been very, very much engaged in defense of the purity of the gospel. I've written books on that. Very much concerned that we don't water down the Word of God. No matter how much time and effort you put into all of them, which are very valid, much needed, if you are not a man or a woman of the Word of God who gets up in the morning and gets into the Word of God, who avails himself or herself of every opportunity of breathing in the Word of God, you can do all of these things in the flesh, and no one will know the difference. All of these. I have. I sort of admire, I guess, although that's tongue in cheek, people who write this book, a book on this, child raising, how to have a relationship with your wife properly, and you read the book and, wow! These guys are really something. I've never had that. I've never had that kind of perfection in my life in anything. Defense of the gospel. I still believe in it, as you all believe in those things that you're doing. But let me quote something to you from one of my mentors, Francis Schaeffer. I heard him speak this in Dallas, Texas, and it really spoke to my heart. Quote, as Christians, we are certainly not to be in fellowship with false doctrine. According to why? We're the little niche. Now, no niche that we fill within the body of Christ is meant to negate, you know, everything else. You follow me there? But clearly, we are laborers together with God. I would never entertain, I don't have the gifts, but I would never entertain the thought of replacing this family that's right here, or Jane, you know, all that they do. But does that mean I don't have anything to do with child evangelism? Of course not. It's incumbent on all of us to stand on all the Word of God, on everything, and remember, though, there are people who have more of a burden here, more of a burden there. Now, mine was and continues to be, without apology. If we lose the purity of the gospel, what's the world, the rest, what's the point? But I can be wrong. As Christians, we are not to be in fellowship with false doctrine. Francis Schaeffer said that. About that time, I'm going, hey, amen, glory, you better believe it, buddy. Then he says, however, he stepped on my toes. Each time I see something wrong in others, it can be dangerous, for it can exalt self. And get this. So when I'm right, I can be wrong. Child evangelism, moral crusade, whatever we call that, standing for evolution, or for creationism, anything else. That's why we have a Light for Living conference, and that's what we do at his ranch. Because, see, people come to me with problems. I want to tell you a secret. I am not a problem solver. I am a personal relationship solver. Our counseling, I really don't care for that term because it's ministry. Our ministry is trying to bring Christians who are wounded back to a right relationship with their Lord. And, oh, we help them and nudge them and give them a little help here and there. But essentially, who solves the problems? The Lord. I have a dear lady coming Monday. Cracker out in Arcadia. And those of you who live, I'm sure she's not saved. Her life is a mess. And she's going to come out. And it's going to be hard because she's going to want me to help her straighten out her life. I don't think she's the least bit interested in the Lord. Do you follow me there? So if you want to pray for me on Monday, pray for me because I have to walk through that. I don't want to alienate her. And I realize I probably won't lead her to Christ. That's lack of faith, I guess, on the first session. But I need to find a way to let her know. And I might touch on this or that. Some of them might be common sense. Yeah, probably you shouldn't drink 5 gallons of alcohol a day. That's probably not a good idea. But basically, I'm going to have to walk her into the point where she sees the futility of life without Christ. And if I fail to do that, then I have failed my calling. Be careful. Be careful. Your church is energized in many different areas, and they're wonderful. But I see a trend where we're sort of disinterested, maybe not here, in the Word of God as we should be. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do live in perilous days. There are so many demands on our time. Forgive us if we have not given you first place in our lives. I'm reminded, Father, of the Lord Jesus when it says, "And in the morning, rising a great while before day, he went out into a solitary place and there prayed." God, forgive us for our lukewarmness many times. And use these remaining moments and then the next session to really speak to our hearts, speak to my heart, that together we might be more faithful ambassadors for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it is so important that we take in the Word of God. I want to start out, too, because this is intro. This is kind of neat. Don't get too comfortable here, because this is the intro. I want to give you an idea. You support the work here. I have no idea if you're getting the letters we send or whatever. It doesn't really matter. If you do, you probably maybe don't read them. But this is a letter just received yesterday to give you an idea, because I'm going to conclude with a letter from someone else, of what we're confronted with all the time. This is from someone we're working with in New Jersey. And she says, and by the way, homeschooler, all the rest. I love homeschooling, but I wish I had done it when I was, but I didn't even know about it. But the disappointment has been as I work, it is still not the answer. Okay. It's good. I would do it. But you can stumble and fall flat in your face while being a homeschooler. I've had to find that out the hard way in our ministry. She says, "I felt very destitute lately. I take great comfort in the following verse. However, I really need prayer from you as well. I want to have a better ending to the race that I'm in, a better ending than the beginning and the way it's going. It seems to me I'm falling all over the place more than ever. will be working with his family. There are so many wounded saints out there today. And I think maybe even the little trend that I shared with you is partially to blame. We need to refocus and refocus again on the placement of the Word of God in our lives. It is truth. It is truth. And so desperately needed. I would ask you now to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And I start by saying, why is the truth of God's Word so important? And the Bible is clear that if you're not hearing the Word of God and applying the Word of God, you will fail. It's really that simple. I know that's probably not we agree, but I don't think we quite understand the seriousness of it. Ephesians 6, read with me. I'll read verses 10 through 14. And then we'll make some passing comments in light for living. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. You know, when all is said and done, what do I really want for me? What do I want for my, I could say good son, my son who loves the Lord, Mark, that he be strong. What do I want for my son who is not living for the Lord? That he be strong in the Lord. Not simply that he's a Christian and I have some sort of confidence, whether real or imagined, that he's going to heaven. But I want him to be strong in the Lord because, folks, let me tell you a secret. Going to heaven is wonderful, but for the here and now, what should be preoccupying your mind is this. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. It brings no comfort to me to say I have a relative who's not living for the Lord, is dishonoring God, but thank God he's going to heaven. That doesn't bring comfort to me. Because Jesus Christ is first. His getting glory is first. He's the only one here this morning who's pure as the driven snow. He loves me. He loves Don. I mean, isn't that wonderful? He loves me. So that is what we're aiming at. And we don't do it in 2-week sessions anymore. We don't do it in 1-week sessions. And we don't even do it on Sundays we used to. It's okay. I adapt. Okay. I adapt. And I'm still excited about what we're doing. So here you go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If I hadn't given an introduction, we'd go into every one of these, but we won't. I will keep my word for me. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. You know, I love that. It doesn't mean we're going to win. You know what I mean? I mean, we have won. We know the ending. We know it's going to happen. We're going to be in heaven. Those who don't want the Lord are going to be someplace else. And by the way, the literal burning fire is the least of their agonies. To me, it's a knowing that you could have known and loved God, and you're not, you don't, and you'll never have an opportunity again. To me, that mental anguish far transcends any physical pain that I personally can think of, while not dismissing nor discounting that. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now, verse, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, that's today, and having done all, to stand. But I don't care how many battles you win, if it's not in the power of the Holy Spirit, and if you're not being convicted and convinced and drawn and sensitized and refined by the Word of God, I don't care who you are, I don't care what it is, child evangelism, defense of the faith, trying to make our country somewhat what it isn't. I don't care how many victories you have, if it is not done in the power of the Holy Spirit, rooted in the Word of God, it is but dung. I have done that. At times. Having done all to stand. It is accounted to man to be found faithful. Faithful. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't mean to undermine all the other even fine demands on your life, even some of the great things that Christian men and women are bringing along to help us to live out this life. But God help us if they ever diminish our love and time given to the written revelation of God called the Word of God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. This is good. I'm monitoring myself. The word loins. You know what loins is? It's this between your rib cage and your hip. That's all your loins. What's pretty obvious about that spot? It is totally unprotected, guys. Matter of fact, in days of antiquity, when the swords were more commonplace, with the God that they still were, I mean, you know, instead of some pushing a button someplace and killing a million people, to be smote in the loins was a synonym for to be put to death. The loins, which is often in Scripture, the loins of your mind, used as it's the seat of power. That's how, philosophically, that's what it means. Or theologically, it's a seat of your power. It's that part, I know this is kind of silly, that it holds everything else together. I mean, you've got the rib cage, and you've got the hips, but if you didn't have the loins, the loins, in the Bible speaks of it as the gut, holds everything together. But one thing about it is very much unprotected. And the Bible says here, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. The seat of power here needs to be protected. How can I be protected from what's true and what's false going on Christian television if you watch it? How can I know? We're working with a black family from Chicago. And I'm telling you, I think I alienated supporter the other day. Didn't mean to. But a black guy got saved in our church. And he's going off to Bible college so he can be a missionary in Ghana. I'm not saying anything wrong. But one of the most needed, most dangerous mission fields for blacks is right here in the good old USA. Talking to him on the phone the other day. I'll be careful here. I love the guy. I love him so much, and I respect what he's fighting against so much, and this is not biblical, that even if he falls, I love him. Because I know what he's fighting against, not only in his culture, but in his churches. Not all. Visions, dreams, prophecies, intimidation, everything but the truth. Trying to get him into something like this church here. Oh, would to God that some black, or frankly, if I was younger, I'd put charcoal on my face if that's what would do it, And I would go into downtown Chicago and set up a storefront with all the teaching of the Word of God that these people are not getting. And keep that in mind, lest you get angry at the group as a whole. They are unevangelized for the most part. And I know that didn't sit too well. The loins are the seat of our power. The Bible says we need to gird them up with truth. It's truth. It's truth. And it says stand. Hold your ground. And by the way, the word stand not only means hold your ground. What is it? Hold the fort for I am coming. That's good. But that's not enough. Hold the fort and then get out there and do battle spiritually. We are undergirded. We are strengthened to live out the Lord's life as He wants us to do in admittedly a perilous age. There is no substitute for being protected by drinking in, breathing in, and then living out the Word of God. Our loins need that. That's the seat of our power. The Word of God. That's why, again, spend more time in the Word, and if it means less time in a Christian book, so be it. There are good Christian books, there are good Christian films, and there are the other kind. But even for the good ones, never allow them to be a replacement for the Word of God. An explanation for it, and to help you to comprehend it. I thank God for the great men and women who've gone on before me, and I mean men and women, Amy Carmichael being one of my greatest heroes who ever lived. And I draw heavily from them. I welcome their input. But their input is for me to then understand and comprehend and live out the precious Word of God. So, a light for living. It is easy to do what we're doing now. Hi, people come to, Christians come to my house, need trouble, and boys, you've been our church Sunday, and Peter, your music is great. But the last thing I want to hear is, man, our music is really good. I hope I know you understand that. That's like me talking to a black guy. I can say anything to him now. I'm saying, you know, put us two together and you got a gray guy. Doesn't matter. I can have earned the right to speak the truth in love. Or I don't want to hear, oh, we're so friendly. Or so this. I want to hear something about what did you get from the Word of God. And I don't hear that too much anymore. I really don't. So, session number two will be at 11:20. How dedicated are you to the Word of God? I thank God for my wife. We have more devotions every morning. I was going to skip them this morning. I mean, nothing to do with this, just devotions. She sits down and looks at me with her big cow eyes. Oh, okay. We do. If you're husband and wife, encourage one another here. Look at Deuteronomy 6 when you get home. And you realize all of us have a long way to go. So that will be it. And I'm going to ask Peter now to... Peter's going to lead us in music, is that correct? He's going to lead us in a song. And I'd like to pray after that, Peter, please, and dismiss it. Is that all right? Praise to the Lord, my divine. Thank you, Peter. Would everyone stand, please? Show you how flawed I am. It's five after. At 11:25, because you're going to have 20 minutes in between, we'll be gathered right here, and we will be done at 12 o'clock. So I hope some of you might be here. We look forward to teaching you light for living. And basically, what the folks did, they kept repeating alleluia. That means praise God. I know you all know that. That's good. And that's beautiful. But praising God in life decisions that you'll be making today and tomorrow, that's where the rubber meets the road. Heavenly Father, we stand before you, and I believe that most of us who gathered here today desire to live more fully for you. And I pray that we'll all be encouraged in these next three sessions to appreciate you more, to live for you more, and to be willing to make any changes that would be needful in our personal lives, that we may indeed be stronger and mount up with wings of eagles, even in perilous days. In Jesus' name we pray this, and thank you, God. He's our Savior, and He is our coming King, and God's people can say,
Amen.
Amen. Okay, see you at 11:25.